Check, check, check. Everyone talking to your microphone so get information. Okay, that's probably what Dissonant Whispers actually sounds like.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Bombarded. Let's recap last episode real quick. So our bards start off setting up camp. They got to meet Jermaine. Randy didn't really trust Jermaine too much. I don't know why, but the other twos didn't really seem to care that Randy didn't trust Jermaine.
You're probably the only person who knows why.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Oh right.
But after that, you were able to get Symbol to the side and talk to him a little bit about the tattoo on Randy's back. He informed you that it was related to Modulus, the god of transformation. And from there, Randy, you were reminded that there was a person in the Nowhere Man that went by Dr. the Patient, who spoke a lot about Modulus. So after finding out this information, you decided, well, maybe the two people that are looking through the big piles of books with Jermaine, perhaps they have a book that we can find. And you devised a very, very odd plan to get a hold of this book, but you managed to do it successfully.
Yes.
And you found out that the symbol that's on your back, where the crack is, you found out that that's actually related to an anti-magical sealing. So after all that happened and went down, we had a little bit of insight into Randy's backstory. Connor had a conversation with Razzle. We got a little bit there. And we ended the night with Tabitha giving a little phone call to Yashi.
Yeah.
The next morning, you three were woken up by Symbol, and it had turned out that Jermaine went missing. You were actually also finding out if the people from the Bureau could actually descend down into the hole. Apparently, it turns out that they were out of their jurisdiction because it had gone too deep. But that being said, the three miners, Aaron, Trish, and Alphonse, they were determined to go down there. And of course, Aaron looked at you three bards and said, "You are going with us, right?" And of course, being bards of your word, you kept it. So you performed a song to schlep together, I don't even know how to describe it, a dance floor of sorts.
Totally.
And yes, dance and sung your way down the hole. And that is where we're picking up.
We're twerking.
As you're going down the hole. Yeah.
Twerking our way down the hole.
Whistle while you twerk. Okay. So you've been dancing and playing your way down this hole on your floating magical tent garbage thing for about 45 minutes or so.
45 minutes?
Yeah, just about.
Are we taking breaks to get water, hopefully?
We can take turns vamping.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Good call. Yes. Good call, Randy.
Cool. I'll sit this eight out and grab a drink while you guys keep going. Yeah.
So the only light that's currently going on is what's being emitted from your instruments, which is enough to light up the area you're dancing on, but nothing substantial. However, Razzle and Yashi, you have dark vision, so you can see things that are around you, which it's just the hole you're going down right now.
Can I have my drift globe out and have it like in disco mode on like the way down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll say you did that at the last minute. Like, oh, wait, this could be way better on one of your breaks.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And you did say that the grain in the wall,
the corkscrew
thing, we can see that still, right?
Yeah, there's a slight bioluminescence to it.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's about 30 feet down. You notice the end of the hole.
Oh. Hey, it's the end of the hole.
Does it look safe down there? What are we landing on?
Let's wrap this up. Let's get to the final four and hold the
final time
up.
Around.
Here we go. Yeah. Take the coda.
Okay. Yashi, you look down and you can just see that there's really nothing in the way. There's some rubble around the area, around the landing area. But other than that, there's not much. And so you float down to the bottom and you wrap up the song and the garbage tent dance floor kind of just, you know, slowly floats to the ground. And then you're just standing on the ground on top of your stuff.
Nailed it.
The other three hop off, the three miners. Wimpy goes to strike up a torch, but then he's kind of like, well, looks at your drift globe and then puts it away. So it's a medium-sized cavern with there's a path that goes to the left or the right from where you stand. The way to your left goes deeper underground, while the right is only at a slight incline. And you hear a droplet of water every so often, and you notice that there's a pool of water nearby that has a stalactite hanging above it. And, you know, around the area, there are stalactites and stalagmites around, and a few of those are conjoined into columns. But yeah, that's pretty much what you see in this area.
Well, which way?
I mean, I think Boom Queen, Wimpy, Aaron, you guys want to lead the way? We don't really know where we are.
Aaron kind of looks around. She's like, Wimpy, if you don't mind just, you know, making sure everything looks structurally sound around this area. I don't want it caving in on us while we're down here. We have to have our exit, of course.
We're caving in?
Yeah, well, hopefully not.
Oh.
Oh.
I guess I didn't think about this.
Yeah?
Didn't think this through very well.
Why, what's wrong, Yashi?
I just, I don't really like small, dark places where I can't get out of, so.
Oh. Well, you should have said something a long time ago.
I kind of just pictured, you know, this like really big open area underground.
Well, I mean, there are areas like that. You know, we might find one. Who knows? This is just the first room that we've come across, so.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, let's, I guess, get to it so we can get Yashi out of here. Yeah.
I'm just going to stay real close to Randy and.
With the drift globe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just hold the
turn it to a very warming, comforting hue.
Yeah, and you can just hold it next to your little cheek.
You three give me perception checks real quick. See if you notice anything else.
That is a 12 plus 3.
15.
Okay. 15, 15. Razzle.
7 plus 5. 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Well, all right, so Yashi and Randy, you hear a trickling of water coming from the passage to the right, and it's at this point that Trish points it out as well, says, yeah, I think I hear a stream coming from that direction, which, you know, flowing water might be the best source to go to first.
Given things drying up, yeah, I mean, that seems
yeah,
seems reasonable.
Like solve the mystery.
Yeah.
Go give it a look.
I mean, it sounds like it makes sense.
Yep.
All right. So you don't want to go to the path to the right?
Yes.
Yep. Sure.
Okay, yeah. I need you to let me know, what order do you want people to walk in? Because the path to the right narrows, and it looks like it would only be a single file sort of
situation.
You know. Yes.
Well,
maybe some of you experts should go first. You know, you'd be able to see anything coming.
Maybe also be in the back, too.
Oh, well, yeah.
Wimpy shrugs his shoulders. He's like, all right.
What? Is that okay, Wimpy?
No, that's fine.
Do you want to go first? What do you want to do, Wimpy?
I don't care. I can go first.
Can I roll, I guess, an insight check to see if he's okay?
Yeah, see if he's cool with going first?
Yeah.
All right.
19 plus 5. 20, 20, 24.
I mean, despite the nonchalant demeanor, you can tell he's being serious. Like, okay with
it. Okay, well, sweet. Yeah, right, man, if you want to go first.
Yeah, great. I don't care. I'll go first. All right, who's going to be second?
I'll go second.
All right, well, I'm going to go immediately third then.
And I'll go right behind Yashi.
All right. Wimpy, Randy, Yashi, Razzle. Let's say Aaron and Trish.
Perfect.
Make a big old Yashi sandwich.
Mm.
I don't want to get you all started on sandwiches, Yashi, but you know we got. Don't worry, we're gonna make it.
I'm gonna be out of here for a while. I get very hungry.
Imagine Yashi would actually get confused, be like, "We're in the desert. Maybe sandwiches? Witches of sand?"
That's what I was trying to do with the sandcastles earlier. Was build like a sandwich castle. Yeah.
It's really white sand. You can make a white castle.
Oh God.
Okay, you begin making your way towards the right passage, and as you near the entrance, Randy and Yashi, give me perception checks.
It's 1 plus 1,
guys. Oh, yeah.
It is an 18 plus 3.
Okay, Yashi, you looked up and got, like, you know, water dripped in your eye. You're wiping it out.
Or Yashi just has her eyes shut, like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
All right, you got a 21, you said, Randy? Randy, so you're walking, and you notice this about the same time as Wimpy does. There is a really large stalagmite that is near the passageway, and there is an eyelid that pops open.
Oh.
Tentacles erupt from it and start flailing about and begin flying in your direction. They move past you towards other people. One of them grabs up Wimpy and just wraps him up completely. Another one is grasping you, Randy. And let's see, who else is going to get grasped here? Let me roll to figure this out. The first one is going to be Aaron and Razzle. And then the last one misses. So overall, you notice that there's this large stalagmite with a big eye. All of a sudden, its mouth opens up and starts to pull Wimpy towards its mouth like it's going to take a big old bite. Let's roll some initiative.
Oh, boy. Wasted no time. Okay.
Razzle, what'd you get?
I got a 2 plus nothing.
Plus nothing. All right. Randy.
I got a 9 plus 3.
9 plus 3.
I got Yashi. A natural 20.
Whoa!
Oh, well, damn it all. Spurrier's got to upload.
Oh, it's not ready.
It wasn't. Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, well, it's still special.
All right. So Trish and Yashi are free.
You got this.
We're going to start initiative with Yashi at the top.
All right. So I think seeing, you know, Randy get grappled is throwing me in. I'm having a moment. Okay. So I'm going to use Reckless Attack, which is a barbarian trait. It's first attack of my turn. I get advantage using melee that uses strength or advantage on it. Can my foot count as a melee weapon?
Yes.
Okay, so nice. I'm just going to try to do like a leap in front of Randy and like stomp down on this tentacle. So hopefully it lets go or, you know, gets a nice little smash going on.
Go ahead and roll your attack.
Stop the yard.
It's an 11 plus 3.
It's an 11 plus 3. Unfortunately, the tentacle is wiggling around quite a bit. It looks very dexterous and very hard to hit. And you're sitting there trying to stomp on it and it just keeps moving back and forth. And you're not able to get a good stomp in. You look like you're trying to play, you know, whack-a-mole with your feet. That takes us to this thing that you're fighting, and it is going to take a bite at Wimpy. And it does. Takes a nice big bite out of his shoulder. There's a good bit of bleeding going on, and Wimpy is just like, screaming. This is the most you've heard from Wimpy so far. So, you know, you're getting a little bit of insight into what he sounds like.
Into what it sounds like when he's getting his shoulder chomped.
Yeah. That is going to be one of the four attacks that it can make this turn. It is actually going to try and grapple Yashi with one of its tendrils. Yashi, that does grapple you.
Cool.
And Trish is grappled as well.
So we're all grappled except
Everyone
Aaron?
Everyone is grappled except for Aaron.
Oh boy, it's a good thing she sobered up.
So,
we'd be so screwed.
Yashi, as it grapples you, it also pulls you closer towards its mouth.
Ooh.
Like Wimpy.
Hey, just to ask, are my arms grappled too, or is it like it's grappled under my arms?
I'll say everyone's grappled around their waist, or in a way where your arms are usable. I'm not going to be rude.
Okay.
But that ends that monster's turn, and we go to Randy.
Okay, so since I'm grappled, if I was going to try to escape that, strength check?
Yeah, you would have to make a strength check.
And then we said our arms are free. So if I was to sneak attack, how would that?
You actually wouldn't have sneak attack because you're at disadvantage for being restrained.
Okay. So, but spells, though, would be fine.
It doesn't say nothing about spells. So, you're good on spells.
Okay. Well, I think to myself, hey, you in there, you annoying little Jim, you. Your life is at risk for this, too, because you currently need a vessel, and if I die, well, you know what happens to you. So let's make this one count, okay?
You think I don't already know that, Randy?
I'm just checking in. You've been testy lately.
There's reasons I help persevere you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I don't lift up my shirt. Like, you'll just have to wriggle your way out if that's cool.
I think I can make that work, Randy.
Appreciate it.
Teamwork makes the dream work, man.
And I say,
Chromatic Orb!
Okay. And you are...
Oh, I'll cast it at a third level, and I'll make it all fiery.
Oh, okay.
It just comes out of your mouth instead.
Yeah.
Chromatic Orb!
Yeah, actually, Eddie comes out of your mouth, and he's just pushing the ball. He's right out of your mouth.
Yashi and I are like, what the heck?
That is a 7 plus 3.
That does not quite hit.
Mm.
That actually winds up flying off. You get wriggled around in the tentacle, and as the ball escapes your mouth, you wind up being actually like turned sideways to where your mouth is facing the roof, and it just shoots off into the roof.
Like, no, you cast from your tummy, remember?
Trying over here.
Yep.
We didn't practice that one.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to do all of the miners at once. I'm going to put Wimpy up first. And Wimpy grabs the tentacles around his waist, and you just see him like hulk out like Master Roshi style, just like it's super buff. And he grabs him and he just like rips the tentacle right in half.
Whoa!
And like pulls it off the body of this thing. You hear it screech and shriek. Wimpy's just standing there with this part of a tentacle and he's swinging around his head. He's like, "Eh!" And I'm going to say that's the end of his turn. And Trish reaches behind her and you see her pull out this weird bag and it's like black and there's a little bit of dust floating out of it. And she takes a small stone, drops it in there, shakes it up, and throws it right at the monster. It goes sailing past it, but it winds up hitting the back wall, and there's just a small explosion of force. And that's going to be her turn, and then Aaron doesn't do the same display that Wimpy did, but she's able to grab the tentacle and kind of like, you know, works it around her body to where it's off, and she winds up dropping to the ground, and she makes a bolt towards the passageway. And she's just like, come on, y'all. We gotta get going. This ain't... No.
Okay. Working on it.
All right, yeah. And we are going to go to Razzle.
Okay, well, I'm going to try transforming into something hopefully super small to escape, or big, and I'll just Vivo bust out of this thing. So,
Latido.
Yep. Oh, good. 23, which is a goat. So,
all right.
I actually...
A little bigger than you, or...
That doesn't really help. I think it's about the same size.
You turn into a goat.
And maybe the change in, like, feel freak the tentacle out enough to slip you.
No, I'm just going to try again.
This was a bad choice.
I'll just say, oopsies. Sorry, guys. A little misfire there. I'm kind of freaking out. Instead, 83, which is a giant badger.
So. A giant badger. Yes. I think we're about to dip into some other IP if we're not careful. Yeah.
So I transform and say, oh, I got it this time.
And I'm a giant badger.
What is the actual size of a giant badger?
I'm very curious about that, too.
I'm going to have to...
It's a medium creature, so...
Ah, dang. Well, since you, Razzle, are a medium creature and a giant badger is a medium creature, you are still restrained.
Yeah.
And that'll pretty much wrap up your turn. Since you used your bonus action to transform, then your action to transform again. And we are going to go to the top of initiative with Yashi.
Okay, well, I want to grab my diminution potion.
Okay, you have access to that.
What are the effects of that again?
So you receive the reduce side of the enlarge reduce spell. So you pretty much move down to the next size down.
Okay.
And I think you have disadvantage on strength checks, stuff like that. But your weapons shrink down with you. So those are going to be the same size and everything.
Perfect.
But you pull out this potion and it's a red liquid inside. But the red like conforms down to a small tiny ball and then expands back out, filling up the clear liquid in the bottle.
Okay, I'll pop that top and knock it
That's
back.
That's weird. Glug, glug, glug.
It just happens to be in like my shirt pocket, so I can just kind of...
Yeah, you reach in, and you start to shrink down. And this thing starts to kind of tighten around you, but I'm going to say you slip right through as you're shrinking down.
Yes.
And I'll call that a whatever. That's just drinking a potion.
Okay, so I'm looking around and getting pretty upset. I don't like, getting grappled. I don't like... being held down and because I was like pushing to try to get out and it wasn't letting, and then I see my friends getting all grappled and everyone, no, it's not happening, so I'm gonna rage
and we're in a
cave. I'm gonna rage hard. Yeah.
Well, she's smaller now, so that might actually be better for you as far as the claustrophobia goes.
It feels great for a second, but I'm still so I think the emotions are ramping up, and so any serenity that I gained from being a little smaller is kind of taking a backseat.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going
to
rage.
So I'm going to go ahead and rage on top of my tiny Yashi rage.
All right, that's like a bonus action for you, so.
Cool. All right.
Tiny raging Yashi.
Amazing.
So what I'm wanting to do is to kind of get to this eye and stab it. I take out a javelin, and I want to stab that right into it.
Okay.
How far am I from the eye?
It's really not that far. You as a group are entering the passageway, so it's pretty much right there next to you. So you almost don't really even have to move at all.
Waiting to snatch us up.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to use reckless attack again, and that gives me advantage on melee using strength. And then since I'm raging, I also get a bonus to the damage roll on that. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Hiding in your cavern, snatching your party up, trying to...
So that's a 9 for the first one. I'm rolling at advantage. All right, so that's an 11, and it's +3 for the strength bonus and 3 for the proficiency bonus.
Okay, yeah, that's going to hit.
Sweet.
You go in, and it's quite not the hit you want. You're aiming for its eye, but its mouth opens up like, hey, are you going to feed me something? And you wind up stabbing into its mouth more so. But go ahead and roll that damage, which for a javelin, that's 1d6 plus your strength.
And then I get a +2 bonus.
Yeah, for that rage damage.
So that is a 6 plus 3 plus 2, so 11.
11? All right. So you stab it in the top of its mouth, and it rears back, and you see its whole body kind of like bend. And you see it hit a little bit of the light from the drift globe, and you can see that there's a large gash on the top of it that you didn't notice before. And there's like some weird green ooze coming out of it. And most of its body looks like it's a little cracked and weird. So that anything else in your turn, Yashi? You still have some movement left.
Yeah, I think I'll just try to maybe get past it to be on the same side as Aaron.
So you run past it into the passageway, and that'll wrap up your turn. We're going to go to my monster, who's still wrapped up.
Me.
We have Randy, Razzle, and Trish are still wrapped up by this thing. And you three notice that there is a small nub where one of its tentacles was, starts to kind of like bubble and gurgle and flop, and you see something sprout out, and another tentacle comes back out and replaces one that went missing. And it's trying to wiggle around, and it actually moves its way into the passageway towards Yashi and Aaron, but it comes up like just out of reach of where you are. It's the new one, so it's still kind of growing.
Right.
But it keeps stretching, and you know, you back away just a little bit before it touches you, but it keeps going.
Yeah, I'm like, haha, that's right, what's up?
But it's like, you're really small, so you're like, haha, what's up?
I was wondering about that earlier. It is also going to reel in Razzle, little badger, looking at you.
I'm like, a medium-sized badger.
What are you? To it, you're little.
Okay.
And it's going to take a chomp at you.
Oh, man.
It brings you in, and it's going, like, head first, like, trying to chomp on you. And it's kind of feeling you out, like, doesn't like the fur at first, but, you know, gives a couple good noms into you.
This doesn't feel like the dwarf I captured at first. What's going on here?
Okay.
Stop rolling.
Well, you know, it's 11 damage.
Okay. Well, and I forgot to roll, so I'm just going to take 13, so woo.
Okay. That's fine.
Just hanging on there.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move to Randy.
Okay. Well, since Eddie didn't really do a very good job, I'm just going to pull out my two daggers and just scream and start stabbing it repeatedly.
Okay. You'll get your offhand attack and your main hand attack, so both are going to be at disadvantage.
Okay.
Go ahead and roll those for me.
You're just like Drax, like,
ah! So that is a 17 and a 5.
Oh.
So one of them is not going to hit. So let's see if we can keep one in the game. Those are both 10s, so...
Okay, well, how much is your...
A 10 plus 6.
That's going to hit.
Oh,
that hits the tentacle.
For you, nice. All right.
So go ahead and do your damage with one of your daggers.
That is a 1d4 plus 3, and that is a 4.
Awesome. Hey. So 7. Yeah, your dagger just goes right through, slices through the tentacle. It releases you, and you drop. You have movement left.
Yes, so I am getting over to where the others are.
Okay, you're running.
Yes, going. All right. Going.
No shame.
All right. Oscar. Randy has no shame, so it's fine.
That takes us to my miners, and Wimpy was up first last time, so he's going to be up first this time. He's going to run over and grab the tentacle that's holding Trish, and he's just going to grab it and scream, no! And totally just rips another one right out of there, and he's just hulking, and he holds it up, and he starts dragging Trish, still wrapped up in the tentacle, towards the passageway. And he's just like, over his shoulder, just like stomping off.
Awesome. Wow.
And Triss is just like, I guess this will work all right. I don't know. Okay. And Aaron is still gesturing everyone. She's actually moving, seeing the tentacle that came towards her and Yashi. And she's still moving further. She's like, we need to keep moving further away. It's still stretching. That'll wrap up the miner's turn. Now I need to know what my big badger boy is going to do.
Well, first I'll say,
don't worry about me, guys. I got this.
It's okay, though, because I have a multi-attack, which means I can make two attacks, one with my bite and one with my claws.
Okay.
And, I guess I'm just going to do that.
Go ahead and make those at disadvantage because you are restrained.
4 and 18.
Oh, nuts.
That'll be my bite.
Okay.
And then 12 and... 19, so 12 plus 3 to hit, so 15
that
for my claws.
That will hit.
All right, so as a badger I say,
hello from the magic badger.
No, God. That's what I was talking about.
I had to, I'm sorry. And so I bite down on it, but then I realize it's so nasty.
Yeah, it's really hard. Yeah. Your teeth, you know, maybe they don't have what it takes to pierce this this natural armor that's on this thing.
So I say, bleh, 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 gross. But as I'm saying that, I'm like clawing at it really hard with my claws. And
that does, does work. So okay, go ahead and roll that damage.
2d4 plus 1. Ooh, 4 and 4. Hey!
Oh, dang, nice.
So big fat 9.
So you try to buy it and no. But then you start slashing with your hands and you dig right through this tentacle and it screams and, you know, the tentacle falls to the ground. You fall to the ground and land on your feet. It unravels around you and you're free. You're more than welcome to use your movement at this time if you'd like.
Yes, I would absolutely like to use that movement and GTFO.
Okay.
Run towards everyone else.
All right. So you get your way out of there?
Yeah, I guess as a badger, I scurry.
Yeah, you scurry on out of there and you get a little bit closer towards the rest of the group who we're going to go back to the top of initiative. It's Yashi. That tentacle is still kind of moving towards you a little bit.
But we're all on the side of like...
Running away.
Running away.
Yeah, absolutely. All
right. Since I'm raging, I might as well just play around a little bit. So I'm going to grab the tentacle and almost like I'm wringing out a towel, just like twist it, try to pull it apart.
All right, yeah. Go ahead and give me a strength check.
I don't have an advantage because I'm smaller, but then I'm raging, so it just kind of cancels each other out.
Okay. Correct.
So that's going to be 5 plus 3.
It's wiggling around, and you're not able to get your hands on it. You can't get your mitts on there.
I'm having the hardest time.
I know.
This tentacle today. Really?
But yeah, you still have movement left in your turn.
So I'll turn back and yell,
"Let's just get out of here."
And I'm going to use dash as my bonus action to go catch up with the group.
Okay, yeah, because that's part of your path, right?
Yeah, my lynx totem spirit.
Sweet. Yeah, so you dash on further into the passage. You're pretty much like scrambling around Aaron, who's responding, "Yeah, that's what I was saying. We just need to get on down out of here."
Yeah.
Okay. And at this point, the one tentacle that just freshly bursted out, it's this monster's turn again, and you hear that same sound of another tentacle like pushing its way out of its body and coming free. And now you see three tentacles that are trying to like slither towards you deeper into the passageway. Let me see. Yep.
That's the sound of it.
Nope. All right, so all of these three tentacles are slithering towards you, trying to swipe at each of you. Randy, it tries to get a grasp at you, but misses.
Nope.
Razzle, you feel something like get around your furry little leg. But
on my tail, I'm like,
oh, yeah. And then you scamper out of it just in time. And the third tentacle tries to reach out, but it hasn't grown enough to be able to reach any of you. So yeah, that pretty much takes up its turn. It wasn't able to make a grab on anybody, which leads us to Randy.
All right, in that case, I'm just going to dash as well.
Okay, so you dash further down the passageway, following up Yashi. You're scurried around Aaron as you're standing there still beckoning people. And that takes us to the miners. Trish eventually gets up. And she's just like, okay, Wimpa, we get it. You ain't got to do that. She stands up and she throws back the tentacle and she winds up just looking at it and laughing as the other tentacles grab onto it and start pulling it back. Aaron keeps moving forward. It's like, yeah. I think we might almost be clear. Razzle, come on. Is that Razzle?
I'm coming.
Then I jump into the air as a badger, dashing, you know, the dashing badger.
Okay, so you Razzle, dash on through. Son. You've dashed your way to safety.
Phew.
The tentacles, like one of them kind of is like, nah, that's just another one of our tentacles. And you see it reaches like a final edge where it's not able to pursue you any
further.
Maybe
it's a badger. I like run around in a bunch of circles and tie them all in a little knot.
You don't
want
to try that.
Okay.
If you want to try, you can.
No.
Are you sure you want to do
that's
that?
That's what Razzle imagines he did, because I'm feeling all, you know, frisky.
That's
as
the
a
story
badger.
He'll lie and tell people.
Oh
he
my
did.
Gosh. Yes.
Okay.
I round the corner, I say,
yeah, I took care of it. I tied him up in a little bow.
Okay. All right. So you make your way further down this oddly
wait,
smooth.
Whoa, there.
Go. Yeah, you're done.
So
battle's over.
Yeah, and since we're done, I am going to transform out of a giant badger.
All right.
And I say, that was crazy, guys.
All right.
Hey, so I've got this spell that I can use to maybe prevent that Goodrich, my stupid
handler.
Yeah. The extension of my psyche. He said, I've got this spell. You guys probably know it, Pass Without Trace. And I'm going to cast that real quick. Probably should have done it before we got into this mess. That one's on me.
Well,
here we go. Poof! Disappear into the shadows.
All right.
I'm the knight.
I'm going to go ahead and do some deep breathing and just calm down, get out of my rage.
Okay.
The potion is still in effect, right?
Yes, but for how long we did not figure out, so go ahead and roll me a d4 to see how many hours this will last.
Oh, it's a 2.
2 right. Hours. All right, so we got 2 hours of Tiny Yashi.
Sweet.
Hooray.
Am I still taller than
you're taller than Randy, but shorter than Razzle.
Ooh.
You're like splitting the difference.
Oh, weird.
Aw.
Nice.
That'll be fun.
Right in the middle.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess when I transfer, I say, whoa, what happened to you?
I drank the diminution potion, guys. I'm really like you are now.
Hey.
This is so cool. I'm always having to duck and stuff, and it's like, the world was made for me.
Do you feel better now? Maybe like the cave isn't closing in on you as much?
Oh, yeah. This corridor is very spacious.
Yeah. Good. High five, because we can now.
Yeah. Great success. All right. Since you cast Pass Without a Trace, are you trying to move stealthy from here on out?
Yes.
Yeah. So
oh, my goodness.
Roll
yeah.
stealth.
Give me them stealth checks.
And that's a plus 10 to stealth and dex stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because, yeah, it's level 2.
That is an 18 plus 9 plus 10. That's a 37.
Sure.
Brandy disappears into the air.
And bye, guys.
And I got a 16.
Not bad.
Well, I got a 2, thankfully, plus 10.
Yeah.
And plus Jack of all trades, so 13.
All right. Let me see how those miners do since they're taking cue. Okay.
I let them all know.
So oh, yeah.
I got you guys.
Okay, so you stealthily make your way down the rest of this passageway. It's rather oddly smooth, but, you know, makes for easy travel.
Bunch of smooth criminals over here.
Yeah, absolutely. It winds its way. Good job. It winds for a ways before opening into a much larger underground cavern. And when I say large, I mean large.
Awesome.
You can only see about 60 feet provided by the drift globe's glow, and then it dips off into darkness. But you notice there is that slight bioluminescence that is on the walls around you.
Does it have the same pattern as it did before?
No, it looks a little bit more natural
and
characteristic.
Are we near the walls? Like, is it close enough to touch?
Yeah, you could touch it.
Okay, take a sniff.
Yeah, it smells wet. And also, you'll notice as you're smelling it, you breathe in, and it's really humid in this room. It's a lot more humid than the last room you were in. But off in the distance, you hear a lapping against a shoreline. Water just cresting against it. And then you hear the sound of running water that you heard earlier, but it's a little bit louder, and it is further into the room. What are you going to do?
I'm sniffing a wall.
I say, Yashi, you find anything?
Just seeing what it might be from. It doesn't smell. It
smells mossy.
Hmm.
Okay well, hey, Aaron. I'll let you sniff.
What's going on, Razzle?
Does this look normal to you?
I mean, sometimes caves have bioluminescence. Just depends on, you know, what's going on down here. It's humid down here, and we're pretty deep, so I reckon we might be near some kind of volcanic activity.
Oh, boy.
So we might need to be careful where we tread, but...
Is there anything else, like maybe being in a volcano, that we should know before we keep going? Like, are there any more stalagmites that might kill us?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, you know, there's crazy critters that inhabit caves and stuff, but I've never been this deep, so God knows what we might find.
Oh.
Well, okay. We just got to be ready. I mean, that last one kind of just got to jump on us, didn't it?
Well, not so much jump as try to eat, but...
Eh. Well... Maybe we head towards the water now that we're all being sneaky.
That sounds like a plan. We can sneak on over there. So you sneak on further. Sneaking, so sleuthy.
Yeah.
All right, but you get over there and you go a little bit further in. You notice there's, for some reason, a well-worn path. Stalagmites and stalactites, there's columns and, you know, different cavernous displays that I didn't take the time to research and actually know. But straws apparently are one of them.
A giant, beautiful cave underground.
It's fantastic.
That's right.
It's yeah, absolutely. You eventually get to a crossroads, and this is where you actually come into contact with the stream of water. And you notice that it's flowing from left to right. You look to your left, and it dips off into darkness. And to your right, you can see the edge of what looks like a hut of some sort.
Marceline. Just kidding.
Does it look like anyone's in the hut? Is there any light coming from it? Or?
You can't see anything, no.
No vampire queens.
You don't see any, other than the bioluminescence that is just natural to this cave, you don't notice anything other than just the hut and the stream. And the sound of the water that's lapping against the shoreline is a little bit more louder now.
So I turn to the miners and I say...
They're looking around and they're studying, like they're taking in this opportunity. So they're very enamored with this area and, like, you know, taking pieces like rocks with them that they find and stuff like that.
Hey, Basem Ites, hey, check out, there's a hut over there. Do you guys know anything about somebody who may be living down here? Does Jermaine have a vacation house down here or something?
Does Jermaine that one guy that
Yeah, that dude that went missing and we're kind of looking for him, kind of looking for how this whole situation got started. Kind of looking for Jenny. Yeah, so there's a hut over there. He might be inside.
Well, I mean, maybe. if y'all want to go check it out, I mean, well, that's one person we could find that's gone down this hole.
Are there windows we can peek in?
Yeah, let's go up there and peek in the windows.
Okay.
Stealth. I mean, do we need to do a fresh stealth, or are we still stealthy?
No, we'll hold on to the stealth check.
Can I do a stealth check? Because I didn't roll very good.
You can try again.
Okay.
If you did, you can keep yours or roll again, depending on what you want
again.
To do.
Mine was
a little 6, so.
Plus, is that the plus 10?
Plus 10, plus 1, so I got 17.
Okay, I think mine was like.
You had a 16 before.
16. Okay, 17 plus 10.
There you go. All right. So, yeah, you're moving a little bit more stealthily now that you've, you know, figured out the lay of the land a little bit better. And you're moving closer, and you notice it's getting a little bit warmer as you get closer to where this shoreline sound is coming from. So you sneak your way up to this hut, and you can actually see that it's not just this hut that's around the area. It's more of like a shanty town of sorts. That's just filling up this area near the shoreline. And you can actually see where the edge of the land just dips off, and there's a little bit of water that's cresting over it. But the creek that you had found actually goes off and, like, falls off, making a little waterfall. You can't really see that, but you know what happens.
Right, yeah.
You
can hear it.
So, but you're up to this hut. What do you want to do now that you've snuck your way up there?
You say there's light coming out of it?
No.
The light's on?
No, there's no light on.
Oh.
There's no light anywhere other than, like, the light from the Drift Globe.
This was an ancient civilization. This was the first Basim.
Yeah.
How many Basims are there? There's Basim, not Basim, first Basim.
Go inside the house.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Guys,
seem to be, and are the lots of them.
Basimites with us, the miners.
They're following you behind. They're kind of, you know, interested, looking around too, sneaking a little bit.
So I turn to them. This is all new to you guys, this seemingly underground civilization we found.
They're all looking through a window, and they all turn just over the shoulder, and they nod.
Okay. Well, let's go check it out. Let's go in the house. Why not?
We're being all stealthy. We might as well try.
You slip through the little flap that is acting as a door.
Okay.
And you see inside, it's just a basic little setup, like a cot, a small table, some old fish that's been eaten partially.
How old's the fish, Kyle?
You want to take a smell check?
Yeah, can we do a...
No, you know it smells bad.
Okay.
It does not smell good. It smells like somebody ate it a couple days ago, maybe.
Oh, so it's semi-fresh then. It's not like a fish bone skeleton that's been...
Yeah, I mean, the head's still connected to it. It's like they left the cartoon style fish with a head and a tail.
But this was recently noshed by someone.
Probably. I turned to all the miners. It's like, guys, when did the meteor hit? How long has it been?
It's been about a week.
Okay. Well, there probably were people here then, and I'm guessing something from the meteor, maybe that came in here, and all the stuff on the walls, and who knows who was here, but they'd probably been here a while.
Maybe all those jackal fellers that we saw were living down here, and they escaped to the ruins.
Well, someone was, but something drove them off, it looks.
It's at this time you hear a large splash come from the shoreline. No, not that splash.
I was about to say. He took it, a big potion. He's like, I'm splashed.
Yeah, he did. No, but you hear a large splash, and it sounds like something lands on the shoreline, and you just hear this.
Uh-oh.
Let's investigate.
Let's go.
Let's go check it out.
Do we need to roll for investigation, or can we just go look at it?
You can just go look at it if you want to.
Here, look at it then.
All right, so you go and you look at it, and you see this creature, like, hunched over a little bit, and it stands up.
It's Gollum.
And, and that's what I'm trying to avoid here.
Yeah, right.
You have caught me, so good sir.
Yeah.
No, this creature, like, stands up, and let's see. No. And it's, like, looking around, and you see it's kind of looks like a fishy-looking head, big fishy eyes. And where its mouth would be, you see these tentacles just hanging. The rest of its body kind of has a smooth skin, and it's wearing a tunic of sorts. But it has smooth skin, and you see it, like, grabbing around its throat and, like, reaching out and just looking around for anything. And doesn't see anything, but it keeps...
I've run up. Can I run up and push it in the water without, like, so it sounds like a catfish person and they somehow got out of the water and I just want to push them in real quick.
Okay.
Like, dummy, you go in the water.
Just run and give me a strength check.
Okay. It's a 17 plus 3, 20.
You push it back in the water and it falls in there and it's floundering around and it grasps towards the side and it's reaching up and it sees you because you've just attacked it.
Uh-huh.
So, and it sees you and it's reaching out towards you.
Okay, I grab his hand or whatever it is he's holding.
It's like
out.
A little claw hand with like four fingers.
Okay, yeah. I grab and say, oh, sorry there, bud. I thought maybe you needed water, fish sort of thing. And I pull him out and
pull it up and they are grabbing your hand and they're looking at you with desperation as they clutch their throat.
Okay, I do the Heimlich maneuver, of course. That's what all little dwarves learn.
Okay, you do the Heimlich maneuver, go ahead and give me a strength check.
Oh, boy. Nope. 4 plus 3, 7.
You get your hands around their body, and it's, like, slippery, and it's hard to get a good grip.
Hold still, Jesus.
And you see it, like, lurching forward. Yashi and Randy, you see Razzle just push this person in, pull them out and start giving them the Heimlich maneuver. Are you doing anything at this point?
And I'm over there still. I guess hold still. I'm trying to... come on now. I'm trying to help now.
I'm going to go over and try to help.
Okay.
Maybe I'll stand in front and, like, you know, grab your arms with my arms and we'll try to push together to
we'll make him put him in the middle of the sandwich so we can pop whatever's in
exactly.
his straight up in the air.
Okay.
And just as a backup plan, Randy kind of gets the gist of what you're trying to do, and I'm going to do just a running punch, and I'm going to punch him right in the gut.
Okay. Yashi, okay, grab
we'll
one
get
arm.
This out.
So... everybody just give me a strength check at advantage.
Okay. I've rolled 3 4s in a row.
Er
is right.
16 plus 3.
4 plus 3. All right. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Razzle, you're still having a little bit of trouble, but Yashi comes up and kind of like does like a front squeeze and realizes you ain't gotten this, and you move around to
just
help from the back
squeeze.
Push me
into the water. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, and so Yashi, you just... give a nice push, and at the same time, Randy, you just run forward. Bam! Fist right into the stomach, and as you punch, the tentacles just fly out of this thing's mouth.
Oh.
And there is just a squid that lands on the ground. You hear it gasping for air.
Oh.
Oh.
Yashi. This is the squid talking?
No, this is the fish man talking.
There's a squid on the ground that's not talking.
There's that that's not talking.
Both of you have means of communicating. Well, since he's like a fish person, maybe...
I have comprehend languages.
You have talk with animals.
So is the squid making noise?
No, it's just lying there on the ground. It looks like it has a bite mark in it.
Okay, how about the fish person? What are they doing?
They're standing there, and they're looking at you three, and they kind of bow and, you know, make a kindly gesture. And they keep saying stuff, you know, and they end it by saying, Kir ushishir mva nik?
Nope. Didn't get any of that.
And it begins, it says, okay, and it begins writing this on the ground, this phrase that it's saying, Kir ushishir mvnik. And Razzle, do you speak Elvish? Does anybody speak Elvish?
I speak Elvish, yeah.
Okay. Well, you speak Elvish?
Uh-uh.
Okay. So Razzle, you can tell it's actually written in Elvish script what this person's saying, and it says, God behind the door.
God behind the door? Is that what you're saying?
And it looks at it, and it nods, it just... 1 second. Or no, it didn't say that. It knows 1 second. It just puts up its finger and it goes over and it gets into this clay and it starts building what looks like a ziggurat and places that on the ground in front of you. They start chanting out certain words and phrases you still don't understand, and then it just stomps on the ziggurat. Nope. And you see orange magical materials start to weave out from under its foot, shoots out and goes into its mouth, and you see that figure reel back and then comes forward and just like...
Did it work?
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Hi. I'm Gil.
Hey, Gil.
Thanks for saving my life.
Yeah, sorry about the confusion earlier. I thought you were some sort of squid person and that you just like beached yourself, essentially, and needed to go back in the water. My bad.
That's okay. So I got to know, are you believers or heretics?
Whoa. That's kind of a big question. Also one I don't understand.
Well, I mean, the God behind the door, do you believe? Or are you like the surface person that came down recently?
Yeah, so I don't know if this is...
the first surface person.
Who is that surface person?
Oh, there was a girl that... it was a little bit after the big crash that shook everything up. But the girl looked terrible. She came in and we took her in.
Okay.
Gave her a place to stay while she healed, I guess. She never really healed, though, but man, the high priests really seemed to take a liking to her, and she claimed to be, you know, the God behind the door returning, and I couldn't believe that. That's just not how the stories go.
Right.
Right. Can you give us 1 second?
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, guys.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, but Jenny, right? I mean.
Oh. I mean, it could be.
The maybe. Dream, missing, the thing that talked in the dream.
That'd possibly. Be,
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe we just say, yeah, we're cool with this person so we can go see what's up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to disrespect their fishy ways, but yeah, let's see what we can find out at least.
All right.
Good point, though.
Back over to
break
to Gilly.
Hi.
Hey. Yes.
Oh, that's...
Three check marks.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Maybe a little bit more interested in what it is. Maybe you can let us know more about what you're talking about.
Yeah, so the girl, she started talking to the high priest and then convinced him, you know, like I said, she's the god behind the door returning home, and she was going to be able to take him through the door at our holy place. And he like spits on the ground at this point. He's like, I can't even believe that they would take her to our holy place, an outsider and a heretic like that. But I don't know it. But she took all my friends and family, and they just all believed her. And I got a strong brain. I know how things work. I remember the teachings, and I couldn't believe somebody like that. So I wound up coming back one time from fishing. And everyone was gone.
Ooh.
So they went to the holy place?
I mean, that's what she said she was going to do, take them all to the holy place and through the door.
So where's that?
Well, and he kind of looks at you a little bit. He's like, well, I mean, I'd be just as bad as them if I told you or took you there, but...
What if we could help get your friends and family back?
And he kind of tilts his head and he's just like, I do miss them. It's been pretty lonely down here these, I don't know how long. There's no concept of day or night down here.
I was just gonna say, so you tell time there.
I count the speckles on the wall.
Yeah.
And that way I can tell time's half past a speckle.
I turn to you guys. A strong brain. Okay.
Well, I am one of the ones training to be a priest. That's how I know at least a spell I can talk to you guys. Thank God. I mean, they always talked about maybe being able to use it, but I'm surprised it worked on the first try. You know what? If you're going to help me get my friends and family back, I can take you.
Yeah.
It's right. It, actually, we're just going to follow this creek right up to it.
Oh, good. It just keeps expanding and expanding what we're doing. How are the three miners taking all this?
They're a little, like, caught beside and stuff. They're just, like, sitting there, like, mouths agape, like, what the?
Yeah. And how does this fish person look? Like, I mean, does it just look like a humanoid or?
Yeah, it looks like a humanoid wearing, it's like silver bodied. Their head looks like a fish that kind of comes up, and it's not like straight up. You know, their head's scaly like a fish. They have big fish eyes, sharp teeth. But the rest of their body is very humanoid looking. They have like a four-fingered clawed hand and, you know, clawed feet that are webbed. And those all look like, you know, smooth skin, more like a...
We could assume
more
this
like
is,
shark kind of skin.
Okay. We could assume this is an amphibious person since they are. Okay.
Like a SpongeBob character.
Right. I was going to say there were ripped fish at the punch bowl, so maybe this is one of them.
Could have been.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
so let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. So lead the way, I suppose.
All right. So you follow Gil up the source of the water for a ways, and it leads through a passage before opening up to a grotto.
Oh.
In front of you is a fairly large stone door that is adorned with intricate carvings on it. The door has a large stone border around it, and on this border you notice there's a stone on the right side of the door that has some markings on it. There's something different about it, but you're not quite sure what it is. On the ground next to where that stone is on the border, there is a good-sized stone that sits there, and it has actually been turned into an altar of sorts with different gifts and things placed upon it. You notice there are other altars around what seems to be this primary altar. These are all filled with fish, shiny stones, and other smelly odd offerings. And you notice that the source of water is actually coming from under the door.
Oh.
And Gil turns to you and says, this is our holy place. We put up offering to appease the god behind the door. Our high priest, they do a ritual of sorts and, just trying to appease the god into opening the door so that we can go to our promised land.
Oh, okay. What's the ritual?
Well, the ritual is typically they take a fish offering and eat it in front of the door, and then they dance around for a little bit and shout out the name Bip Blop Blue Blue. And, that's what we've been told will eventually bring the god to the door to open it.
But it has never worked.
For 50 generations?
No, I mean, maybe we're just not ready yet.
How important is the door staying intact? Like, is it more important getting past the door? Does the door need to still be there once it's open?
Well,
How about you personally?
I mean, if it gets my family back from the person who tricked them, I don't even know how she got past the door. I mean, I know before they left, she was looking really weird, but I don't know how she got past it.
What does that mean?
Well, like, it looked like she'd been healing, but then she was starting to get a little bit taller, and, like, her skin was tearing, separating to places. I don't know. It seemed like she was feeling better, but not looking better.
Dream boy in there. One of them bad dream boys.
Yeah.
Gil, excuse us for one more second.
Okay.
So, we just need to get past this door, right? Isn't that really what this boils down to?
Yeah, I think so.
So, we can just try to play something that would take care of the door.
I think that's fine.
I think we can probably weave something together if we really just give it a go.
Just open the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the door itself. It's what's past the door.
Yeah. Right.
So let's just get rid of the door.
Just get rid of it.
All right. Let's get rid of the door.
Phew. All right, Gil, we've got this.
Oh, okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I declare the door war.
So it sounds like we're going to roll some chord dice?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's do that. All right. Let's go ahead and roll these dice. But first, major or minor?
I'm thinking minor on this one.
I am too, actually.
Yeah,
we need to like bust like down these doors and see what comes of it.
Destroy something.
Probably because you have three minors with you.
Oh!
Let's roll some dice and forget that ever happened. Did I get a wild again?
You got a wild again,
wow.
Cal.
What is up?
Should take you to Vegas. Seriously.
No joke.
All right, so we've got two D minors, B diminished, and F.
And A minor.
And A minor.
Huzzah. So, let's get those drums figured out.
I'm glad we can add sevenths.
All right, that's tails, user bank. Duh. And it's 40, so that's rock 43.
Oh, boy.
Sweet.
And our kit, 26, which is hex kit.
Ooh.
I'm not sure
so
what
magical.
That means.
Yeah.
Six piece with sides.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, get to writing. Hey everyone, it's your Dungeon Maestro, Kyle. I'm just wanting to thank you again for joining us. Every time you join us, it makes us feel that much better. And I'm holding my hands up like you can see me. So, if you want to check out what we're doing between episodes, you can follow us on social media by searching at BombardedCast. If you want to share our little adventure, use that hashtag BardCast to do so. If you want to send us emails, you can do so by emailing us at BombardedCast@gmail.com. So last week, we released the OST Volume 1 for Bombarded. So if you want to hear any of those backing tracks that Spurrier came up with, just sans the podcast, you can do that now. So go to bombarded.bandcamp.com. You'll be able to find that there. Along with that, if you're wanting to hear the tunes from the first 10 episodes that our bards wrote, you can download that as well. We appreciate you listening and enjoying the tunes that we come up with. It means a lot to us. This is why we want to release this content, so you can just listen to it whenever you want. You know, if this music makes you happy, we want you to be happy whenever you can be happy. So, again, bombarded.bandcamp.com. You're going to be able to find the OST and Chaos Sauce Volume 1 with those first 10 episode tracks. They are a pay what you want, so if you have the means and you want to float us a few bucks to do so, by all means, if you don't, hey, it's there for you. You take it. You've earned it by being our fans and listening. We just appreciate you so much that we wanted to give you something that you didn't have to, you know, download on a podcast stream every single time. So thank you again for checking those out if you have. And if you haven't, what are you waiting for? They're right there. Just go. Bombarded.bandcamp.com. That's all I've got for you this time. So we're going to get back to the action and see what those bards composed. Thanks. Bye.
So I turned to Gil, like, Gil?
Yeah?
Just to double, triple check, you're cool with there being no door, right? If we open the door?
You can open the door, yeah.
Let's break it down! Tumbling, this door is now crumbling. Our rock is a force that starts up the rumbling. These sound waves are striking it right at its core. We'll crank it up louder
and open this door. Rock apart the rocks, rock apart the rocks. Rock apart the rocks, rock apart the rocks. Rock apart the rocks, rock apart the rocks. Rock apart the rocks, rock apart the rocks.
Knock it to the ground, we're bringing it down. No doorway is safe when the sauce is unbound. So get yourself ready, cause our sound is a force.
These beats are blowing up and we are the source. Rock apart the rocks, rock apart the rocks. 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 We'll be right back.
apart the rocks, rock apart the rocks. Rock 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 apart the rocks, rock apart the rocks.
Okay, Yashi, you grab your mallets with the intent to knock down this door with your beats, and you other two join in. Your instruments start to glow as you're summoning the magic from it, and waves of energy are just rushing out towards the door and battering against it, almost like a battering ram. The small room you're in is shaking, and small pizzas falling from the ground.
Small pizzas fall down.
Yes. Perfect.
But small pieces of rock begin to fall and whatnot. The entire room is shaking and just it keeps barraging the door, your magic, over and over. And you get to the end of your song and it just seems to have not been able to knock down this door or open it in any way, shape, or form.
We yelled so loud at the end.
We were pretty clear.
You really put in the effort. I understand.
Yeah, we were pretty clear energy. With what we wanted to do.
Gil kind of looks at you three and just like, that's an interesting ritual you got there. Trish kind of like moves him to the sides. Says, all right, let's do this the old-fashioned way, and starts pulling out sticks of dynamite and starts laying them out. It takes a little while. And when she's about halfway through, you hear a rumbling beginning. Uh-oh. And you hear stone sliding.
Oh, Yashi, we're done with the song, Yashi. You can stop playing.
You're joking
it
about this.
It has to work. It has to work.
No, it's fine.
And as you're joking about this, you feel a large gust of cold air come from the opening door.
Ooh.
Oh.
It slides open.
It did work.
And out walk a large group of what look like other gills. So they all walk out in a group, and there's a shadowed figure behind them. And you hear in your head, hello, Yashirak Bodun, Razzle Dazzleson, Randy Greentrees, Aaron Copeland, Trish Shireen, and Alphonse Correa. And Gil, it's even good to see you again. You notice at this point, the person behind the entire group of Gil-like looking people is very, very tall, and they finally step out into the light. They're wearing slightly armored robes and a cape with a large popped collar around an oddly shaped purple head with big pitch-black eyes and four long tentacles that slither around its chest independently.
More tentacles.
Yeah, more tentacles.
It's with you, Cal.
I don't know. Maybe I'm doing foreshadowing. Who knows?
Maybe I'm trying to tell a story, Goodrich. Shut your mouth.
So this alien-like creature looks at you.
And I look back and say, knock, knock.
I heard. It's very nice to meet you. And son of a king.
Is that like a swear?
Yeah. Yashi, close your
ears. I don't know your culture. If you're anything like the surface dwellers from when we were first here, there might be problems still yet for this planet.
We're just trying to get inside and help Gil out.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Gil, you got this, right, bud? We're going to go keep looking for Jenny. Just kidding. I'm just messing with you, Gil. No, we're here for you.
You're looking for Jenny.
Yeah. Hey,
well,
speaking of which, Jenny in there?
Look no further.
Oh.
For I was Jenny.
And you are?
Well, these people know me as the goddess behind the door. The name my own would call me would sound like...
Oh.
But if I were to say it in your tongue, perhaps, and you see this creature take an actual tentacle and slip it up under where its mouth would be, and it comes back out, and you hear it actually talk in common. You can call me Squid Vicious. And we're going to go ahead and stop it there.